The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by LL Pavorsky Jewelers, where Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners go and get engaged, Big Bark, or therapeutic dog beds. Get yours with the Process Pup patch at bigbarker.com/Ricky. And the Colony Meadery, the official gluten-free booze made from honey of the process, and Kinetic Skateboarding. Get 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. On the show today, it's going to be fucking insufferable. We are going to talk about the return of one Jimmy Butler, who has aged 30 years in the 6 months he's been gone from Philadelphia. We will go over the possible rebanning of one Kevin O'Connor, the Sixers' chemistry, which, according to Zach Lowe, is better than ever. I wonder why that happened. And some incredible news for Fly the Process 5. Great, great news for Fly the Process 5. If you've been thinking about it or if you've already reserved it, another piece of big news on Friday, coming up Black Friday, we are doing a Black Friday merch sale again. 30% off all our t-shirts. We are restocking the Al Horford appreciator shirt. We are bringing back the shirt, the one with the names on the back. And I think we're going to do the Process or Die shirt again, which we haven't done in like a year and a half. They will all be 30% off Black Friday and then 15% off Saturday and Sunday. And the Rights Ricky Sanchez winter beanie. I feel like this is a long time coming. Like, we should have done this.
Yeah.
The black beanie with the white logo. Mm-hmm. So that'll be there too on sale. So just go to the store link, the t-shirt store link.
The shirt is the ultimate shirt.
If you consider yourself
a fan of this podcast, which, again, I don't know why you would, but if you do, you have to have that shirt. That is, you've never fully lived until someone walks by and points out, you know, fucking Carl Landry on your back or Jorge Gutierrez. Pick them, all of them, 100 of them, right there.
Right on the back. Should we do the Process or Die in blue, maybe? It used to be in black.
Yeah, we have a lot of like black shirts, so let's throw some color in there.
All right. Oh, the death wreath shirt, the metal shirt, is up there too. So anyway, that'll be all at our store on Friday. We will, if you sign up for the newsletter, we'll send you a reminder on Friday. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef.
Larry, sweetie, the man is here.
Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Lee, along with a guy who... Wait. I'm Spike Lee. What the fuck is that?
Wow.
We never even say Spike Lee. Oh, when we talk about Weber, we do.
It's your name.
It's my name. I'm Spike Eskin, along with...
his own name on his own podcast.
Yep. Well, I'm so excited to get this one going. Yeah. I didn't even remember my own name. Along with a guy who just wants to win and works harder than everybody else, Mike Levin.
Wow. That was really nice. If you've been listening to the podcast, this is what is called a 40-point win. It doesn't have to actually be by 40, but it is that level of thing. And they just fucking wrecked them. We were looking for an end-to-end type win where they just dominated and ran somebody out of the gym. And on the second night of a back-to-back against a seemingly good Miami team, just fucking cooked them, man. They look like the Sixers played like the NWO tonight. And that is the highest praise I could give anyone.
Jimmy Butler is a washed shitbag liar. He is a fraud. You could tell from the first 2 minutes of the game. First of all, as I said 100 times last year, he has lost 30% of his spring and physicality. And the other thing that I could tell from the first 5 minutes of the game is that he didn't want any of it. He really didn't. He was passive because he knew he was outmatched. That guy, I'm glad he got booed. I'm glad that everyone in the arena knew what a fucking phony he is about his all he wants to do is win and getting no. There's no reason to get to the gym at 4 a.m. to get shots up. Like, the games don't start until 7 p.m. You could get there at 7 a.m. and still have plenty of time to get shots up. Maybe he's not sleeping enough. Maybe the guy goes to bed at midnight. He's waking up at 4 a.m. You know, you're on the wrong side of 30 to start doing that. And you look at that Miami team, and they're 11-4 now, and they are better than people expected. But that team, like, is not good. They are not. They have some good players, some nice players that if you don't actually watch them play all the time, the idea of them is wonderful, like Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo and like all nice Thad Young-esque 21-minute bit players. But he chose to leave a team that had a legitimate chance at winning a championship to go play with a bunch of bit players because they will succumb to whatever he wants because he is the best player on the team. And like I said a million times, a team with its best player being Jimmy fucking Butler is not going to win anything. So I can't wait for old Pat Riley, who looks fucking terrible now, to pull out his slicked back gray hair, and Eric Spoelstra, who like went from looking like a young up and coming guy to looking like a grown up troll or something, and looks like he's falling apart. I'm so glad they have each other. Tyler Hero looks like a dickhead. I hate all of them, and I hate Jimmy Butler the most. And this was a very sweet win for me.
I don't know. I like a lot of Miami. I don't worry about them too deep in the playoffs, but I really like Bam a lot, and I think Hero's good. And Goran Dragic always just like sort of wrecks us.
I actually would like to have him.
Yeah, he'd be fine.
He would be a good player on the Sixers.
Nice win end to end. I'm drinking a glass of white wine now. Mm. I'm having one glass of wine, Zach Lowe style. The last podcast we did was after the Simmons 3.
Yeah.
The one before that was pretty dark. Was definitely the darkest one we've done since the shot went in. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to bounce back. It's a long season. The Sixers are 11-5. They're 7-0 at home. A home court that they have last season and so far this season, the number one attendance in the league. So just like have a nice little sip of wine to everybody who said the fans would never come back. So it's a brief moment of wine silence for that.
Is that a thing? Wine silence?
It is now.
Okay. All right.
And the starting lineup, healthy. Josh Richardson comes back, scores 32 against his old team. The 6-7 from three is very nice to see. What a treat. Korkmaz gets the night off. Wow. Everything is good. Beating the Spurs.
Did you see Josh Richardson on Friday night, his not playing outfit?
Yes, but remind me of it.
It was fucking awesome. So he's wearing a black suit, no socks, slip-on loafers, the pants well above the ankle, you know, like, sure. I don't know, 4 inches above the ankle. The white shirt unbuttoned to the middle. And
I honed in on the chest.
And yeah, I was from the second level. I was also honed in on the chest.
You can see down it from there.
Hundreds of feet away. And that with the sort of the old school big hair, I thought was just a phenomenal outfit on Friday night. And the last Butler thing, probably not, but the last Butler thing, I'm just, I think it was Kyle Newbeck who tweeted as they were going to a timeout that somebody was yelling from the crowd to Jimmy Butler, you just want to win, you just want to win. And you talk enough about sports, you're right a lot and you're wrong a lot. And it is pretty sweet to have everybody just fucking hear. And I know there's 10% of the people that are like, we shouldn't have let him go and yada, 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 and big shots in the playoffs and actually fucked up three possessions in the last 3 minutes of that Toronto game if he hadn't wanted to do everything himself. But I'm just glad everybody's here together hating him. I just, either hating him for fun or hating him for real or whatever, I'm just glad we could all be here and boo him every time he touched the ball together.
Yeah, you were certainly right about the booing. I guess I just put more stock into the like, we finally, first guy who can, like, hit shots off the dribble and go get himself a bucket, like, since Iverson? Obviously that wasn't Iguodala's strong suit. So, I mean, Andre Miller, maybe, if you want to give him that credit. But I was putting stock in the good times and...
Oh, that's right. You said they wouldn't boo.
I didn't think they would. And it really, it really came full force. I was wrong, and it's fun. I am pro booing all the time. No issue with booing. I mean, yeah, pretty much all the time, and I feel great about it.
The thing that you have to remember with the booing, and this is the one thing, is that if there's one thing that Philadelphia does not fucking deal with well, it is choosing somebody over us.
Sure, yeah.
Like, that is the... If you decide you would rather be somewhere else, it is over. And I think that was the nail in the coffin. If he had, you know, if it had come out truly that the Sixers just didn't want any part of him and it didn't seem like he left, I think it would have been different.
Yeah, but it seemed like it just kind of worked out the way it should have. It was, whether the offer happened or not, it was very clearly known that it wasn't going to happen. And I guess I don't have a sense of what the casual Sixers fan is, you know?
Yeah.
And so do they even know that, to them, is it like, oh, Jimmy, the Sixers traded him for Josh Richardson. Okay. Like, I just have no sense. I don't even know what that would look like.
I think here's what I would, and obviously I interact with more casual fans than you do. One, because I'm in Philly, and then two, because of WYP. But one thing I would remind you of that I think was a shock to me, and I think you have to give... You know, there's all sorts of levels of fans. There's the casual fan that, like, probably can name all five starters. And then there's, like, the level over that that doesn't watch every game and whatever. But here's the thing that I'll remind you of that I thought was telling was when they forced Hinkie out, the next home game was actually the last home game of the year. It was fan appreciation night at the Sixers. Now, if you'll remember, one of our people tried to wear a Sam Hinkie shirt to shoot a half-court shot for tickets, and they made him cover it.
That's right.
But the real moment...
As we'll talk about in a second, a lot's changed since then.
Yes, yes, yeah, we will talk about that. But the thing to really remember is that every time they put Scott O'Neill on the big screen that night, everybody fucking booed. And, like, I just think, like, and remember, you know, it wasn't 50-50 pro-Hinkie, anti-Hinkie. It was, like, I don't know, 75-25 in against Hinkie. And then I would say that the 25% were all in on being pro. And, there was a good portion of the 75% that actually wasn't into it.
Yeah.
Maybe half of them.
They just tuned out.
Yeah, but the fact that everyone there was like, oh, I don't know, there was something wrong with this, and this guy is the guy that's responsible for it, that they thought that, I think people are a little more in tune than you probably think, I would guess.
Yeah. We had the Perfect Harmony rap party the other day, and my friend's plus one was this guy who went to Episcopal. And,
oh, really?
And I was like, oh, Philly, whatever. And it's always quickly I never bring it up, but somebody is like, Sixers podcast. He's got a Sixers podcast. You should hear about it. And I was like, well, I guess whatever. And he starts, it depends sometimes based on what mood I'm in, whether I've been drinking, whatever, how the Sixers are doing at any given time. If a normal tries to talk to me about it. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, I guess we'll see. They look pretty good, whatever. Or this guy was like, oh, yeah. So you were like, what do you think about the process? You like the losing? And I like, I came out like way too high. Like I hit him like really hard with something. And he was like, oh, you are clearly outmatching me here. So, okay.
He just bailed.
Yeah, he totally just pulled the ripcord and left. I was like, ah, man, sorry, bud. Caught me on a bad day.
Yeah, I've done that before. It depends on what mood you're in. It is like whether you just sort of check out or whether you go all in and take them like that. Well, this was, without question, they looked really good on both sides of the ball. I actually thought, even though the offense worked pretty well, really well, it was a lot of shots going down. That'll make that helps. I thought defensively, actually, I thought it was more impressive than the offense. We take a break from the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast to talk about the OG, original sponsor of the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, LL Pavorsky Jewelers, where only cool people go and get engagement rings. The coolest people of all. Mike, December 7th is the annual LL Pavorsky holiday party and sale.
Mmm.
Hors d'oeuvres all going through the store. Drinks a-flowing. Raffles for jewelry that all goes to charity. The jewelry doesn't go to charity. The jewelry goes to you, but the money goes to charity.
Mini cheesesteaks?
Mini cheesesteaks are still there. The hors d'oeuvres have not changed since I started going, except that this year there will be mushroom crostini for me because he claims it's vegan. I'm sure there's fucking butter in it. I'm sure there is. I'm not going to ask to see the ingredients. I'm just going to have a couple of the crostini and we're going to move on. 156, right? Oh, 20% off. Not only that night at the store, but December 6th through 8th, 20% off. Great stuff in the store. 156 people. I think we hit 156 today. Have purchased engagement rings from Lee that listen to the Ricky, which is unbelievable. Oh, and did you see the picture of the baby, the first baby ever? Or not the first baby ever. Hold on.
First baby ever. We got him. He's ours.
First baby ever. No. Hold on. So we got a letter. I don't know if I should read the whole thing, but the letter came with two pictures, and one had a baby with a Rights to Ricky Sanchez blanket on it. So congrats to Kyle and Veronica and their first baby, May. They tried for 5 years to have a baby unsuccessfully, and then he finally had their first kid, and he went and Kyle got his wife, Veronica, a beautiful piece of jewelry from LL, and then blanketed his baby, May, in a Rights to Ricky Sanchez blanket that looks bootlegged, and I'm not going to send any cease and desist orders as long as this is the only blanket I see.
If having a baby after 5 years of trying isn't trust in the process, then I don't know what is.
That sure is. If you want to get an engagement ring from Lee, make an appointment before you go over there so he can have everything ready for you. 215-627-2252. Email him. Go to llpavorsky.com or just tweet at him at llpavorsky. The store is at 707 Walnut. For every pod, LL donates to Coded by Kids and the Providence Animal Center, our charities. LL Pavorsky Jewelers.
He only cares about winning your heart.
Back to the pod. Miami. It reminded me of the Boston game where every shot they seemed to take did not seem like the shot that they wanted to take. You know, like they would run their offense and run it and run it and run it. And there were just, it just seemed like a lot of shots that they just finally settled on. And I thought, we talk about the offense a lot, but the defense has not been good enough for a team whose, signature thing has to be defense. And I thought tonight that it was.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they're not going to hit shots. Like, sometimes they are. That Knicks game was like they're hitting contested tough shots, and that happens. This game,
I thought, it's a make or miss league.
You could say that. I thought the Sixers did a good job tonight of forcing them into like uncomfortable middle areas of defending, like all through the shot clock, and never giving them too many easy looks. Obviously, sometimes they're going to hit. Like Tyler Hero started to get hot towards the end of the game when it stopped mattering. Same thing with Dragic. But I thought they did a good job of kind of making them uncomfortable. I think, I mean, I've been sort of edging this way all season long, but like you just, I keep seeing good things defensively from Tobias Harris, and I'm happy about it.
He defended quote, none really good.
Yeah,
on that
he had slapped the ball away. He had the quote the other night about him. He's like, "You could usually I was like a decent defender in the past. I think you can say I'm good. I think you can say I'm good now." And it's like, oh, that's nice. He's aware of himself. He knows that he's putting the work in, and we're seeing it. And he's just got to not be a liability. And the Sixers are going to be fine. He doesn't have to be Simmons or Josh or whoever, but him being just like very, very capably decent is helping. I would love to see some like in-depth stats on how he's looking, but to my eye, he's been great. And I think across the board, you could see the defensive intensity. Like the Sixers aren't letting like easy, there's no easy passes against the Sixers when they're locked in. Like even, you know, someone will have be trying to post up or trying to get the ball somewhere, and they're just bothering the guy trying to make that pass. And I thought tonight especially they did a great job of weak side helping Matisse a couple times and Embiid a couple times, just like coming over and helping your guy out and not getting beat. In the San Antonio game, Matisse tried to help out when the guy wasn't looking and steal the ball, and then got beat on a Bellinelli corner three, and Brett immediately yanked him. But it's those kinds of things of like, when can I cheat? When can I help without getting beat? And do I trust my team to rotate over and save my ass if I'm helping somebody else? And I thought tonight was just like, obviously Miami wasn't hitting shots, but I thought it was a total clinic. Like they didn't break 50 until like pretty late in the third.
A lot of the Tobias Harris defense will be, you know, like for him to work that hard on defense in the offseason, he said that's what he concentrated on. He knew, and I think we know, that at least when they were playing their starting lineup, he's going to be in a lot of lineups where he has to defend wings and not fours. And that's not optimal for him, you know? So I think the more that they, and truthfully, we probably won't really know where he is until the playoffs, where when they're facing teams, you know, when teams do a lot more mismatch hunting, or even the next time they play the Celtics. But the more that he can look okay, for us to not notice him, almost sort of like the offensive lineman test. Mm-hmm. Like the Kendrick Nunn stuff is fine, but as long as we don't see anybody abusing him, I think is a pretty positive sign, at least until we get to the playoffs and we see what he's really made of.
Exactly. And I still think you saw it with like when Stauskas was here, guy's eyes just like lit up, and it felt like they're whatever they do, whether that's going to the rim or taking a step back or just jab stepping, going up with something, they were going to shoot it with confidence. And you see some of that with Korkmaz, although I think he's doing a better job of getting his hands in there and making it a little uncomfortable and moving his feet and contesting. You don't see it much with Tobias. Like you don't see guys just like light up, oh my God, Tobias is on me, I'm going to go to work here. And I think that you saw a little bit of that more last year. You saw it with JJ a little bit, and it's nice that Tobias is just not there's when there's no holes, when there's no just like blatant holes, and every single possession they have to work to do something, then it's really nice. And also, I think you could see, like thinking about it, the Miami didn't do like really have any success in a pick and roll tonight, and I think that's because it was guys coming over and hustling around screens, and Embiid was challenging shots and all that stuff, and across the board, great game. Really, really a necessary great game. Embiid on a back-to-back, not something we've seen much. He's played other back-to-backs, but not a ton. And so to back-to-back, like under 30 minutes and making an impact and hitting shots. And this is the team we wanted. This is the team again. For a while, they weren't there. And now they're back, and I'm happy.
Embiid is actually who I wanted to talk about. It keeps going where he's taking more, just talked about it last time, and he did it against the Spurs, and he did it tonight, just more face up jumpers, mm-hmm. which I'm totally fine with. Taking threes willingly.
His touch in that mid range is just so good.
It's great. It reminds me, I've compared him to Ewing before, and it reminds me of Ewing. Ewing shot a really, the ball looked small in his hands, but like perfect. Like it spins backwards the perfect right way. The touch is great, and the form is great, and it I really think if they know that you're going to shoot that, then you don't have to do that pump fake from the three-point line. You could do it from 16 feet away, and you have a lot less ground to cover, you know, the more that they think that shot is a threat. Mm-hmm. And I think he's been better defensively the last couple of games. Man, the Spurs, as close as that game got, I don't know what it felt like on TV, but it never felt like the Spurs had any chance of winning that game.
Yeah.
That team is fucking terrible.
It also kind of felt like, why isn't this deficit bigger?
More, yeah.
They feel like they're beating them by a lot, but, and they're not kind of doing anything really wrong. They had three turnovers in the first four plays, and I think the problem, we can get back to what we're talking about, but like the turnover thing is just going to be dogging them all season long, and it's because the other team knows where the pass is going. Like, there's not separation happening. And tonight you saw a lot of easy passes of like, wow, that guy's wide open. Wow, that guy's wide open, because it's guys making quick decisions with the ball. And in San Antonio, and for a lot of the season, it was, you know, a guy holding the ball like in his hands delicately, being like, I'm trying to fit it into this window, and I'm taking a long time to make a decision of how I'm going to get this ball over this guy's hand. And so then the defense can recover and easily like knock it away or whatever it is. And then also just sloppy stuff. But tonight it was a lot of clean looks across the board.
Simmons gets the Iguodala triple-double in the Spurs game. I think it was 10-12-10. And then I didn't see his line tonight. He looked good in both games. I don't want to harp on this, but I just wish he would take a three every game.
I know. Here it is. The floodgates are open, baby. And they're closed again. Water is everywhere.
And now I'm watching. Now that he did it once, I'm watching as he heads to that area, and he's not even heading to the corner anymore. He's just doing the thing where he floats 8 feet around and then goes right under the basket. I wish he would take one every game. They're up by fucking 35 tonight. Take one. Make him feel like shit. Make him feel like, ah, fuck, even Ben Simmons hit a three on me tonight. Like, I don't know. Take fucking 10 of them tonight.
I mean, any game, like, I just dream of a game when Ben Simmons just goes 0 for 2 from 3. Like, what a nice thing that'll be. He took two threes, and he missed both.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
He missed the first one, and he took another one.
What a delight that would be.
Yeah. Anything else from this game? We mentioned Richardson. It's nice to see his shot go down.
Really? He just was feeling it. And it's exciting to see, you know, when you play basketball, obviously I'm not playing NBA basketball at any point. There's been like a handful of times in my life, very few, when you feel like, holy shit, I can hit anything right now. And it's such a good feeling, and you want to just bottle it. And he had it. Like, he was just hitting absolutely everything, guys in his face, whatever. And it's nice that we have that level of guy. I wasn't sure if he was at that level of like, holy shit, like Josh Richardson, heat check. And he was, it's really nice that happened against his old team.
Yeah, well, maybe we didn't know if he had it in him, because for the first 15 games of the year, he was shooting, it seemed like 20% from three. Like, he did not look good, you know. Neto doesn't get in until blowout time because he's still in the fucking doghouse because he fucked up once. It's just the craziest thing I've ever seen. Trey Burke, not much of anything tonight. I'm going through players in my head. Horford, nice Horford night.
Oh man, yeah. he just hit. It was him hitting shots, and I was just like, this is finally. You know, you've seen like sort of, I think, occasional moments of it and whatever, but this Horford was the Horford we played against for however many years in Boston.
Yeah, every 17-footer goes in.
Every single one. He's banging. He's taking step backs, little hook shots, whatever. He had that one weird. He's missed like four layups at point blank range this season in very odd fashion. But I'm sure those will get cleaned up. But it just seemed he was doing everything right. And he played 24 minutes of just like immaculate basketball.
Honorary member of the pod, Amos Lee. His manager, his name is Perry, and Perry is a Heat fan, and they were at the game tonight. And Perry, the whole time, has been to Amos like, what the fuck is Spike's problem? Jimmy Butler is awesome. And I'm just like, wait on it. So like a quarter in, I text him, and I'm like, hey, Butler is cooked. And he said, so is Horford. And I'm like, nope, that's just how Horford looks. Like, that's his whole bit, is that he looks like he's cooked. But he's looked this way for 10 years, and he's been exactly the same. It's been nice to see him have two good games in a row. I think he was good against the Spurs, too, if I remember correctly. He had a good game as well. Yeah. So he had a bad few games, so it's nice to see him back where he should be. That's about it, right? I'm trying to think. Korkmaz had an amazing game against the Spurs.
Yeah.
And Ennis, man, Ennis had, thank God that Ennis did not have a really good game tonight, because if he had had a really good game tonight, I would have thought, like, I was on the verge of saying maybe he was the second best player on the team. Like, when he looks good, he's so good. But he wasn't much of anything. But
he never looks good. He always looks odd as hell, but the product is successful, and that's nice. But he's always got the weird sort of wiggly, occasional like double pump dunk in traffic, and you're like, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
But I always think he's going to finish. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter who's there, I always think he's going to finish. So when the threes are going down, it's really good. And Korkmaz had a great game against the Spurs.
Yeah.
Like, an absolutely great game against the Spurs.
He's maybe our best pick and roll player. Like, guys have to fight through. He gets that shot off quick. He's got pretty good vision. Mm-hmm. He's tall. He's long. He had that one, I think Horford set a screen, and he crossed one way and then went, and Horford switched the screen, and Korkmaz went back the other way, and he had, like, sort of a leaning Lou Williams-type, like, 20-footer. And he's so confident. When he's confident, it's so different. He carries himself in such a different way. We should talk about the Zach Lowe article, but in the second paragraph, there was the line about Korkmaz after the Portland game. Josh Richardson how are you feeling right now? And Korkmaz very seriously and earnestly goes, this is the best moment of my life.
Yeah.
And it made me cry. I was so, because he had a tough time the first couple years here. I don't know. The team chemistry wasn't great.
He requested a trade.
They didn't pick up his option. And now here he is. Like, it'd be nice. I don't know when you can renegotiate a contract of a 1-year deal at the minimum, but like it'd be interesting if they're like, all right, come, you know, January, they're like, hey, how do you feel about like a 2-year, like $6 million or like 3-year, $8 million deal? Lock you in and you stay here for a while, whatever it is. If they can get him on the cheap of like staying long term, because right now, he's very necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody, I tweeted something about, like, you know, people will complain that Brett Brown is playing Korkmaz too much. And I said the issue is not that he's playing Korkmaz too much. Is like the issue is that Korkmaz is the best shooter on the team. And somebody was like, he's not. And all you have to, like, don't look at percentages for a second. Just watch them play. And he is the only one on the team with a potential to have true gravity to him because of the quickness of his release, because of how high the release is, because of how tall he is, all of those things.
Yeah.
He just has all of those sort of, he just has all of those elements together. And if he is able to be good, it would be, first of all, it would be pretty wild.
Yeah.
And almost accident. Like, after they take him in the first round, they tried to get rid of him.
A Colangelo success story. Potentially the only one, because I will never give Colangelo credit for Simmons. I wonder. I think Mike Scott I still trust as a catch-and-shoot player more. But Mike Scott does more things off the ball. Like, he sets screens a lot. He'll cut a lot. He's a great safety valve of, like, somebody drives and gets caught, and all of a sudden Mike Scott is like slipping to the basket and has like an open layup out of it. But Korkmaz off movement is looking pretty good. That pump fake kills everybody. I played my game in my Korkmaz yellow shoes and lost the playoff game predictably. So that was tough. I also went to the doctor because I've had some hand issues and realized I've been playing my whole season with a broken finger and a seemingly broken wrist. I'm going through a CAT scan on Monday. So very Sixers-y of me to have off-season surgery potentially. But I still like the yellow sneakers, so I still feel honorary Korkmaz in that.
Well, the truth is, like Jimmy Butler, you just want to win.
I do just want to win.
He just wants to win.
Yeah.
He just tries hard. A bunch of dogs in this locker room.
I am a dog.
I'm the point guard. We take a break from the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast to talk about our dog sponsor, our only current dog sponsor. That is Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Go to bigbarker.com/Ricky. It is there that you can get the only dog bed engineered by experts to support your dog's joints. That is the Big Barker dog bed. The bed that your dog has been sleeping on until now is not a bed. It is just, it's like a blanket that you paid $60 for at the pet store. Big Barker is the only one on the market that is like, go to the process pup section of RightsRickySanchez.com and just look.
I
fucking dare you. We got Aaron Telasnik, his dog Charlie, sent him a Big Barker. He's a good boy. Aaron, who did the, did our like AV for the live show.
Yeah, used to work former Sixers employee and yes. Watched Perfect Harmony while the dog bed was installed.
Oh, installed. I'm looking at a dog right here. Shake, a new process pup, was diagnosed with a torn ACL. And then a month later, the doctor realized they messed up. So the dog's fine.
Classic Sixer. Classic medical staff.
Classic Sixer. A 10-year warranty with the Big Barker dog bed that you get at bigbarker.com/Ricky. The foam does not flatten or they replace it for free. A 1-year at-home trial. Try it for a full year. If you're not happy, you can send it back. They will even pay for the shipping. Big Barker dog beds. If you don't get your dog a Big Barker, you simply don't love that dog enough. Big Barker dog beds.
Woof, woof.
Back to the pod. And finally, the most important thing, and we have other very important things to get to on this podcast. The most important thing tonight is that in an interview with one Serena Winters, who's doing a very good job, Sixers president Chris Heck, when talking about different groups of fans, says the name Rights to Ricky. He does not say Sanchez.
No.
I think that is fine, actually.
Well, so he says we have a lot of fan. He's talking about the home crowd, and he says we have a lot of fan groups. Is that what he said?
Do you want me to find the audio?
Yeah, play it.
Okay, here we go. Thanks to Gino Randazzo, who grabbed this audio. Here we go. Hang on. Start this over.
Season ticket holders, the Hive. The Rights to Ricky. We have groups of people that care about this team and actually matter inside the season ticket holders.
Yeah. So we said fan. He said fan groups at the top of that clip, but the joy in his face. He was very excited to say the Hive, which good for Mike Scott Hive getting and Zainab getting a shout out on the night when they had their tailgate. And
Zainab cheating on both the Hive and the Rights to Ricky.
Yeah,
by...
she really slipped in there for everything. She runs the whole fucking joint. Rights to Ricky, I will say Sanchez is the most confusing part of it.
It's the one that makes it sound like insulting or sexual or racist or can't figure it out.
But the joy on his face when he got to say, he kind of did like a little shoulder shimmy when he said like Rights to Ricky, like he was happy to do it. So I'll give it to him. Would like the full name, but I was watching it on NBA TV. It was the NBC Sports Philly broadcast on NBA TV. So there were a ton of people around the country that heard that. And that's really what it's all about, is confusing people. And so thank you to Chris Heck for saying the name. I think we can pivot right now to us ringing the bell.
Yeah. Well, and I think he knows at this point, if he had not fucking said us, I would have gone apeshit. I've gone apeshit enough. We got to ring the bell. We are banging the drum at two-way night at the Blue Coats on December 27th.
Yeah, a month
away. I understand. Yep. And tickets available, RightsRickySanchez.com, $14.
How many people have been there so far?
How many people have gotten tickets?
Yeah.
Over 500.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. So, and I imagine we'll do well the week of. So, and we have that one thing we have to announce, which is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
But I understand us going down there, showing we can behave ourselves, doing it the right way, doing the right thing, and then ringing the bell. After that, we will accept the invitation from the team to ring the bell. We have done a lot for fan interest over the last 6.5 years. And
this is an application.
I think, I think we deserve to ring the bell.
This is the CV.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have anything to add? Of course we deserve to ring the bell.
No, I mean, you see the people that have rang the bell in the past. And there's some good ones, obviously, some well-deserved ones. Horford opening night, excellent. But there are a bunch that didn't mean anything. We would mean something.
Mm-hmm.
So,
look,
bring us home. Fly me in.
If you want to, if there's a fucking Thursday game against some shit team that you want to keep the sellout streak alive for,
there
and you
want
to sell a bunch of tickets, just fucking invite us. All right. So before we get to the potential rebanning of KOC, Mike, some big news from our newest sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. So, thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook for Fly the Process 5. There's a fellow over at DraftKings named Ethan who is a Ricky listener, and he actually suggested it. He calls up and he goes, hey, Fly the Process 5. What if we pay for a discount for everybody who goes? And I was like, really? And he goes like, yeah. And I was like, what about people who have already purchased the package? And he goes, they get the discount too.
Wow.
So, yeah. So if you've already paid, look in your email for an email from Fans of Philly. I know I'm going to get 7 emails. I didn't get the email. Look in each tab, please, before you email me or tweet me. And if you pay, so if you do that, you will eventually get a refund. If you've only paid a deposit, you'll get it off of your balance. And if you paid it in full, you'll eventually get a refund if you haven't paid it. So they're basically paying like the, like, let's take the full package with airfare, quad occupancy was $649 a person. Now with the DraftKings discount, it's $599. All of the flight packages have $50 off. Without the airfare, let's see, double occupancy was $359, now it's $325. So every package for Fly the Process 5 now has a discount thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook.
That's very nice.
Yep. They're also buying everyone's t-shirts. So the t-shirt design, which you have seen, which is almost done, buying everyone's...
For TJ New Year's?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's really nice. It's very nice.
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
Yeah. We're putting some fireworks in there too. So, and even the package without the hotel and without the airfare, just the tickets and the New Year's Eve party. So thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. Just go to rightsrickysanchez.com, click on the Fly the Process 5 thing right on the front page and sign up. We're getting close now. It'll be a really awesome time. And thanks again to DraftKings Sportsbook they're literally, like, this is costing them the money. It's not us just giving the discount and saying it's them. They have to pay this to Fans of Philly for every discount for each one. So I just thought it was a really cool thing to do. This is the first sponsor to pony up that kind of cash for one thing like that. So thanks to DraftKings.
Also, I love our spot. I love the local sponsors. I prefer the local sponsors, but this is also.
So do I.
This is also like the, you know, we cheat on the local people with the occasional big guys.
Well, you know what? If they're going to provide value for the listener, I'm fine with cheating on the local for
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
And the locals don't go anywhere. They're still there. So one of the guys who has been banned previously on the rights to Ricky Sanchez is a writer from The Ringer from Boston named Kevin O'Connor. Kevin was banned when he said that Al Horford should be on the All-Star team over Joel Embiid, though that never happened because we disagreed. We didn't ever disagree with that. We thought they should both be on, actually. So we banned Kevin O'Connor. We unbanned him. He was briefly banned again when The Ringer introduced their Hottest Take podcast because it ripped off my other podcast. But he and every other Ringer member except for Bill Simmons was reinstated, except for Danny Chow, who is still banned. Unban Danny?
No, and he's no longer at The Ringer, so.
Yeah.
He died banned.
Died banned. Okay. So, on The Ringer NBA show, I'm playing it from their Twitter, so there's a little annoying music behind it, but on The Ringer NBA show, I have a 1-minute clip to play you from Kevin O'Connor.
I've been waiting a while to say this, Chris, but I feel comfortable saying it now. Brandon Ingram is better than Ben Simmons. And the reason why I bring that up is because in the 2016 draft, myself, you know, Jonathan Givony, Mike Schmitz, a bunch of draft guys out there had Ingram ahead of Simmons, and for years that was rightfully held over our heads, especially mine, because I always harp that Simmons shoots the wrong hand. And congratulations to Simmons for shooting a three and making it this week. But that reaction to Ben making a three and just flat out taking a three compared to Ingram, who every night is scoring at a high level, who's playmaking at a high level, who's versatile on the offensive end, and the way you can utilize him either from the post, either in the pick and roll, either in spot up situations as an end of game scorer, like we saw last night in the Pelicans win over the Suns with some of the clutch shots he hit in that fourth quarter. That's normal from Brandon Ingram.
There we go. Do you want to comment first? Do you want me to comment first?
No, I mean, it's just like Kevin, you sweet, sweet, sweet boy. We've been over this. We've done this before. You've had to eat crow. Why are you going back to the crow? Stay away from the crow. Walk away from it. Brandon Ingram is fine. Like, Jabari Parker is fine. These are all the same player who can, like, do a little, and then they settle for this, like, bullshit mid-range contested nothing. They aren't actually that good defensively. If you want them to be good, and the best version of themselves is running the offense of a 31-win team. And Ben Simmons has, every year of his career, won 50-plus games and has made the playoffs and has had to improve at very different elements of his career, of his game, working on different things. And now he's an all-defense level NBA player. And Brandon Ingram is putting up Ricky Davis numbers on a bad team until their real good player is healthy. Kevin, you poor thing. What are we doing? Kevin, why are you doing it? It's sad to see it. It's sad to see someone reach for the needle again. And that's what you're doing.
All right. Here's my take on it. And Brandon Ingram, look, there are big questions about both players, I think. Brandon Ingram is averaging, I think, 27 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. He's shooting like 52% and 45 from 3. Bad team or not, they're pretty good numbers. He's a little better than I thought he was going to be. That said, he doesn't really pass the eye test when I watch him. Like, the numbers are definitely different than the visual for it. Here's where I respect Kevin O'Connor. And I will point to tonight. Sometimes you got a take that you really believe in, and there are storms you have to weather through. But if you really believe it in your heart, you hold on to the take and you weather the storm. And anytime there is a little bit of light, you got to trot out the take again. And the fact that Ben was having a bad few weeks, couple weeks, and hit the three, and everybody celebrated, and Brandon Ingram is in there scoring 27 points a game, I appreciate that KOC came out and was just like, without any, nothing holding him back, no qualifiers, Brandon Ingram is better than Ben Simmons still. I have to say, I would not, so we did a vote on Twitter, like 72% said he should be rebanned. I think we need people like Kevin O'Connor, and it would be different if he was a shitbag, but he's not. So I would vote not to ban Kevin O'Connor.
Kevin, I don't want... No, Kevin, no one wants to ban you, but I have to for your own good. I need to... This is why Howell Neto is in the doghouse. You make one bad play, and you got to put you in the doghouse. Kevin, we've been there. We've done this before. Brandon Ingram is bad. He's putting up empty stats on a bad team, and is currently a minus 20 in 27 minutes on 18 empty points against the Jazz without Gobert. Like, this is just what he's going to do. He's going to do this forever. He's going to be Jeff Green. He's going to be Andrew Wiggins. He's all these things, and he's just not that good. Occasionally, he'll do something cool and be like, man, if he does that all the time, maybe he could. But no, he's going to settle for shitty mid-range shots and disappear when the ball is in somebody else's hands and just stand around and be mopey until he can do like he's winged Jahlil Okafor. Like, get out of here. No, thank you. Gone.
So you banning him?
Yeah, I have to. Kevin, I have to, Kevin.
I, obviously I honor this. I disagree with it, I'm going to say, but I have to honor it.
If we you don't put the baby in timeout, they'll never learn.
Wow. Wow. I can't believe it. Once again, Kevin O'Connor banned. Wow. Really, really upsetting. You do hate to see that.
You hate to see it. And I hate to see it. I hate to see it now even more than last time because I thought we were making progress. But here we are.
Wow. Here we go. I have one of the most upsetting jigsaws ever. Last week
was a big hit.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that serious. Just inserting itself into the Ricky culture very quickly. The jigsaw this week is brought to you by Kinetic Skateboarding. Very excited that Ben from Kinetic asked me what color zip-up hoodie I wanted them to make, so I picked a color. I'm not going to reveal that color, but it's coming. Hey, if you need Christmas gifts, if you need Hanukkah gifts, if you just want to buy something for yourself, snowboard repairs, Kinetic Skateboarding is your place on 202 in Wilmington, Delaware, or kineticskateboarding.com. Use promo code Dave Silver for 9.1% off your first order. Here is the jigsaw.
Play.
I will play this game.
Game play.
I will play this game.
I miss you.
I will play this game.
I'm worried. Play.
I will play this game.
And after the game, they were interviewing him, and they said, how does it feel to win the ultimate game? And he said, if it's the ultimate game, why are they playing it again next year?
All right, Mike. This is another listener-submitted one named says, huge fan of the pod. If you use this, please keep it anonymous. Oh, I got to bleep that. Got to bleep that it's bleep. All right. I got to bleep again. Bleep. All right. So I didn't say who it was. This messed up jigsaw came from my 15-year-old son. All right. The consciousness of your wife and girlfriend, your wife slash girlfriend and your mom. For you, it's girlfriend. So the consciousness of your girlfriend and your mom switch bodies. In order to reverse the switch, you have to have sex with one of them.
Oh.
Do you have sex with your mom's body, with your girlfriend's consciousness, or your girlfriend's body and your mom's consciousness? Would love to hear your thoughts. It would make my son's day, my fucked up son's day.
All right. Well, I wasn't going to answer this, but I support any fucked up son. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Two jigs. We've done three jigs. The jigsaw's been back for three straight pods, and the last two have been fantastic. In the last one, Mike chose to tell the loved ones of a recently deceased person at the funeral, it's not that serious. And now he has to choose between having sex with his mom's body, with his girlfriend's consciousness, or his girlfriend's body.
When the switch is done.
Yeah. They have to remember.
They have to remember?
No, yeah.
What is that? What mythical fucking witch is forcing this to happen?
This guy's fucked up 15-year-old son.
God.
Yeah.
I guess. I hate that. I guess so my girlfriend's bad. Body. Yeah. It has to be that. It has to be that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No option is good.
No.
It has to be that.
Yeah.
My mom listens but that means to this podcast. She enjoys it. It's one of her favorite parts of the day.
So
tell this to your shitty 15-year-old kid person's name.
I mean, that means your mom will remember how sex.
All right, we don't need to go over it.
All right, okay. Before
you
get,
wait, you answer it then.
Oh, I don't really have an answer. I think I would say the same because, I mean. It's a morbid reason, but like
you don't have sex with your mom.
Well, no, I don't. I would pick the same one you would.
Yeah.
And the morbid reason is that like you know, my mom's a lot older than my wife is, and like she won't be around as long, and
she'll die before like, and then you'll be like, all right, at least just
I don't have to look at her. Wow. Yeah. All right.
What a ride.
Before we get to the mailbag, Zach Lowe wrote a long piece on the Sixers, which I read all of. The first Zach Lowe thing I've read all of in a while. By the way, if you get the chance to listen to the Zach Lowe podcast with Doris Burke, Doris Burke talks like she is on Inside the Actor's Studio, recorded in a library. The whole thing is like, Zach, I watched the Celtics. Very breathy, very calm. She keeps saying his name, even though everyone knows who she's talking to. Just the worst. But
I like Doris Burke a lot, and I had to listen to fucking Hubie Brown do the Spurs game. And I'm just telling, like, honestly, some people like enjoy that stuff. Some people enjoy. I think Sharp is a guy who enjoys the stuff, like Inside the NBA style, like nothing. And I'm just like, I can't stand people who shouldn't be doing the job that they have. And the fact that they're bad at their job is funny. I just can't do it. It's not funny to me. Hubie Brown is 1,000 years old, and God bless him for still being able to watch basketball and enjoy it. You should be able to work as long as you want. But like, Hubie Brown should be covering like fucking, you know, Evansville University. Like, you shouldn't be paid by ESPN to cover national games. He hasn't said a cogent thing in years, and he's still doing it. Doris Burke is very entertaining to listen to, even if on the podcast she can be breathy. I like people's podcast voice. I think that is entertaining to me. Hubie, go to bed, Hube.
Well, I don't care. Let him work as long as he wants to.
You should give me the option. Give me the option to listen to someone born after, you know, in the 1900s. There should be a button on the remote saying, hey, do you want to listen to someone who, you know, doesn't remember the birth of independence? And I would click it.
Wow. Ageism.
I'm ageist. I've always been ageist.
Always. You have always been ageist. Yeah. So the headline on the Zach Lowe thing, you know, he gets into the videos and the troubles on offense and so on.
He calls him Thumble again and again, multiple games. He calls Matisse Thybul Thumble. It's crazy. Hubie, listen to someone. See your kids more. Anything. Play golf.
His kids are probably too old for you.
Yeah.
At this point. Josh Richardson rang the bell tonight.
Oh, that's great. Well deserved.
Yeah. So the article from Zach Lowe, I mean, it makes a point to talk about how much better the chemistry is this year as opposed to last year. And I just wonder what the difference is between this year and last year.
Well, Kylo Quinn.
Yeah, that's one. Is there anyone who was here and now isn't here?
Mike Muscala.
Could be him. Anyone else?
JJ?
By the way, I don't think JJ was a good culture guy, by the way. I don't think he was bad, but I also don't think he was good. When they asked Brett Brown about Jimmy Butler in the press conference.
What a nothing answer.
Boy, you can tell he fucking hates him. He fucking
kinda nice.
Hates him.
And kind of made me regret not asking Brett about Jimmy on the on stage. Because with the people screaming at him, I think we could have gotten some good shit there.
People
are more revealing and say the stuff that they maybe shouldn't say when a bunch of drunk fans are yelling encouragement at them.
The question was, you know, Jimmy Butler. He's like, well, he had some big shots for us. It didn't work out. Do you want to get into why it didn't work out? Nah, not really. Don't want to get into that now. It's like, whoa, not really a Brett answer. He fucking hates him. No, I love it. Obviously, the biggest part of the Zach Lowe story
which I really enjoyed. I thought I really liked it a lot.
I make fun of Zach Lowe a lot, but he does seem like one of the only basketball writers who actually knows what he's talking about. It's just that he writes too much for me, most, and I can't take it all in. But
we record 3 hours of basketball content a week.
Yeah, but it's much easier to listen, and you can speed up the podcast. You can't speed up the writing. Sure. Anyway, and look, he's getting paid. Obviously, people like what he does. The biggest part of this story to me, and I think to everybody, was that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid watched half a basketball game
together.
Oh,
yeah. Give it to me. And a shout out to Ben's brother, who was my guy, Sean Tribe. Great dude. Love him. I love that he made that and got in that story.
That, and it does seem like Tobias Harris is the guy getting everybody together all the time.
Tobias, it seems like Horford, I think. I love that Horford didn't go to a club because he's too old. I love that some of the young guys couldn't understand an Italian menu, so now they're just going to steakhouses, like across the board. Like, give me some culture all day. I love it. I want everybody hanging out. I want inside jokes. You see Ben and Embiid on the bench. They're whispering to each other. They're covering their mouths and laughing and giggling. This is it, man. I've been, in my mind, it's been there for years, and they've always been good friends in my mind, and I've convinced myself that way. But then you see it, and you're like, oh, this is so much better. What a treat it is.
I didn't. The rest was just a bunch of basketball stuff that we talk about. But it was nice to know that they're all saying that it's better this year than last year. I hope it is. We've gotten less smiling Joel Embiid than we have in the past.
Yeah.
And
tonight was very smiling.
Tonight was good. Yeah. He has full on stolen the Antoine Walker shimmy. I like it.
Yeah.
I like that it's his now. A quick note, by the way, I mentioned earlier the guy that yelled from the crowd to Jimmy Butler, "You just want to win." As it turns out, it is Australian Yakov who flew here with his son just to watch the Sixers.
That's the guy who yelled
from
it?
Australia. Yeah, he's the guy who yelled it. So he bought like courtside seats, and he was right next to Jimmy Butler, and he just fucking yelled at him the whole game.
Amazing.
So Jakob flew here. Oh, and by the way, there was a Ricky meetup in Australia for like 10 or 15 Ricky listeners to watch two Sixers games this weekend. There's a Ricky listener named Emma who is from Australia who drove 5 hours to get there. And she sent me a picture.
And I gotta say, it's weird to meet with people on the internet. We've done it for a while, but when you first do it, there's a really weird process of like, how do we interact in person? I remember when my ex-girlfriend went to high school, same high school as Tanner Stidell, who used to write with me at Liberty Ballers. And and we ended up like being at the same place, being on that same street in Allentown for like Christmas one year. And me and Tanner meet like outside in the middle of the street. And like Tanner has like a vuvuzela, because that's the era that that place is that in. And we're talking, and like me and Tanner are now like very good friends. And before that we were like writing about basketball and whatever for years. But then you meet somebody and you're like, I'm talking to him about like the Liberty Ballers comment section. Like it was the weirdest.
Right.
Like you're just like, I don't know what to say. This guy's weird, right? When he comments, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was tough. And so anybody, I mean, the Hive, the Australia meetup, anybody that comes to our events, anybody that does that and gets into good conversations, like God bless you, because there is an awkward hurdle at the beginning that you have to get through, and it's tough.
Yeah, less so than maybe 10 years ago or 7 years ago, but still there. I think the good thing about our things at this point is that enough of those people have been in enough things together where it's fine now. But they're still talking about the same shit on, hey, what about Sixers fan 82? What an asshole that guy is. I blocked him. It's still the same weird shit. We take one final break from the pod to talk about our sponsor, the Colony Meadery, M-E-A-D-E-R-Y, Meadery. Mead is a cider-like booze that is made from honey that is gluten-free. Mike, I would think you'd be a gluten-free guy, are you?
I try to be, but I also like bread.
You like gluten, yeah.
I would say in the house, I'm gluten-free. which is okay. What my family used to say about keeping kosher.
Right. The I figured with all your stomach issues that gluten-free might be one of the things that you
gluten
did.
Clogs me up. Just like the, my face, everything. I just feel like a little when I'm wearing it. I'm just like, a little slow
all clogged
down.
Up.
But when I don't have it, I'm good to go.
Well, luckily, there's no gluten in the mead that the Colony Meadery makes. It would be illegal for them to put gluten in it. Somebody sent us, a listener sent us a jigsaw today and said that he was in the aisle at Wegmans trying to figure out which Colony Mead he wanted. He decided on the Wu-Tang Cran, which is a cranberry mead. I had the Ain't No Peach, the other one, the other night. All kinds of flavors. Go to colonymeadery.com. Like we said before, it is sort of cidery, but it comes in all different flavors, like a cider wine. I tend to find that the one in the cans are a little more, carbonated. I like the carbonated than the ones in the bottle. But and anywhere from like 4.5% alcohol by volume all the way up to 13%. Like I mentioned, I know, if you're getting crazy. Available at Wegmans, all the Wegmans in Eastern PA, a ton of places in Philly, the Bottle Room, Iron Abbey, Urban Village Company, Johnny Brenda's, and you can order online at colonymeadery.com. Use code Ricky for $5 off. You can also go up to their tap room in Allentown for a tour and tastings as well up at the tap room in Allentown. Again, colonymeadery.com for $5 off. Must be 21 to drink. Please get buzzed responsibly. Back to the Ricky. So we got a couple of really good, we'll end on a couple of good Lorenzo Brown mailbag questions. Writes to Ricky Sanchez at gmail.com. Writes to Ricky Sanchez at gmail.com. First one comes from Tom. Spike and Mike, what are your thoughts on the Sixers jerseys with the big S and the 76ers coming off of it? They wore these on Friday, the City Edition. Honest opinion, please. My friends think they're awesome and fresh, while I think they look like a four-year-old wrote the script and a drunk monkey came up with the design. Why is the 70 so small? Big fan of the color scheme, but the front emblem is a disaster. Agree or disagree?
This is the, I hope my friend, the Sixers one?
Yeah. Yes, the 70 Sixers. I hope my friends are fucking with me, but they seem actually serious about loving them. Am I crazy or are these jerseys trash? I don't think they're good. I agree. I like the color scheme, but I see some of the other city series. The Minneapolis ones are so clean. They have like the Carolina blue and just says MPFs on it. I like them. I don't know. This is 2 years in a row that it looks like 76ers is misspelled on a City Series jersey, and I just don't get it.
I like the scheme. I would like it to be a little bit more like cream, like a little less white and a little more like a full, almost like orange or yellow hue a little bit more in there. But I mostly like all jerseys. I'm not discerning in that sense. I generally am like, they look like basketball jerseys and they're fun. Memphis Grizzlies are playing in old Vancouver ones now that look beautiful. The Nuggets throwbacks are gorgeous. What are some other ones? I like the... I forget which one I was talking about.
Denver is cool.
Yeah, for sure. But I hear what he's saying about the font. The font doesn't seem like they've quite nailed the font yet. And yeah. I also... generally like a clean, like the Minneapolis one, like that kind of look of like, it's very crisp and clean. But I don't have a ton of jersey takes, generally.
Yeah. I don't wear a ton of jerseys. I mostly like jerseys that are very like blue, white, clean. Like I love the Maple Leafs jersey and I like the,
I like Indianapolis Colts. I like a swing. That's why I love like the Denver ones are gorgeous. I like, we're like, oh, that's not a normal color you'd see. Like that's a fun little deal.
Yeah.
Like, anyway.
This and I said I thought the Timberwolves ones were the best ones 2 years in a row. Last year was the Purple Rain ones, the Prince themed ones, which I thought were awesome. This one comes from Jim. Spike and Mike, when do we expect to see Zaire take the trip up Lorenzo Brown Road and get back to the Sixers? I get it. A year ago at this time, he was in the hospital for weeks and only weighed like 50 pounds. But he did look okay in summer league, where he showed that he still has some of the bounce he had previously. Feels he is hanging out with Neto and in Brett Brown's doghouse for some reason. When is it okay to start asking about the former first-round pick? Do you guys expect to get anything from him all year? Hopefully... they just have him in Delaware to find his legs, and his stint with the Bluecoats is short-lived. Would still like to see him at two-way night, though. How many meaningful minutes will he see for the Sixers this year?
I think
the pods. Okay. See you in Indy.
I think zero this year.
Wow, which is less than last year.
Yeah, less than last year. He had one meaningful minute, and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I think they, you know, we talked about Matisse's ups and downs last pod. I think he certainly, the game has slowed down for him in a bunch of ways. He hit a nice three off movement today. Had a couple poke outs, those kinds of things. Driving and kicking well, but still a long way to go before he is finishing with anybody even nearby. But I think Brett just trusts him a lot more. And he's older and he's played a lot more basketball. Zaire came into college raw, did a bunch of crazy cool stuff, and then missed an entire season. So I would expect he's in Delaware for almost the whole year, if not the whole year. Maybe they bring him up for like a couple weeks to break it up and see how he's doing and let him practice with the guys, whatever. I think they just want him to play basketball. I don't know. I wonder if there's a trade situation that happens for him. I think his value is pretty low right now, and I'd rather just see what he gives you next year when some guys might not be here, whatever. But I don't expect much this year at all. I think I would love to see him start to his version of dominate Delaware, which isn't G League basketball isn't like conducive to smart, good movement and
off
stuff.
Ball
it's just,
guy.
Yeah, it's a ton yeah. of it's just a ton of points. They just like rack things up, and you know, Mariel Shayok is just scoring at will down there. But I would love to see some controlled, good defensive plays, get some poke outs, like give me some weak side blocks, filling a lane in transition, catch and shoot threes, occasional attack closeout, and kick out off a pass, like those kind of, just like little things, like all the things that you want to see Matisse doing. Just give me that, and just give me some good lobs there, and it's like, okay, he can do this in the NBA now. But I don't expect this year.
It's hard for me to figure it out because it was indicated to me last year, even before he got sick and then after he got sick, that they did not expect anything from him last year because they thought he was a project. So with that known, I guess it's not entirely surprising to me that he would spend most of the year in Delaware. Mm-hmm. That would seem normal. The extra year just makes it feel longer, but he didn't really play basketball last year at all. Yeah. You know, that said, I don't know. I hope he's just far away. That's it. And that there's not something wrong, because when I watched him in summer league and then in the scrimmage and then in the limited preseason minutes he got, he looked pretty overmatched and sort of lost mm-hmm. when he was out there.
Yeah.
So. He seemed to my eyes to be out of it. And you know what? The other guy that seemed to be out of it to me in summer league was Milton. And I still think like he has moments, but I would say that his bad moments equal his good moments for me to this point. So I don't know. It takes a while. I'm not out on Zaire. I like Zaire's like profile. I like that he looks like John Starks, and he seems like a nice guy. So I'm gonna stick with it.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any panic from the team or anything.
No, so. And I think it's just like, you know, they drafted Matisse because he was the right guy there. I don't think they were like, we can't trust Zaire. I don't think that was a conscious choice. It was just like, let's just get this guy. And if they're both ready at the same time, then that's two really good defenders who can shoot and pass well and blend in as like high level defense first role players. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see. But I don't think you can. I think it is fair to say, like, well, Matisse is well ahead of Zaire in that hierarchy, and what does it look like for even Zaire minutes to come, ever? And we'll see. He's just gonna have to earn it. He's gonna have to play really well, and I don't think it's gonna happen this year. But you know, next year training camp, whatever, he's just gonna have to like fuck people up, honestly. He's going to have to, like, prove it and earn it and be undeniable so that you still, when he still makes rookie young people mistakes, it's still worth having him out there because he's certainly really talented and I love the package. I would just show him, like here's Marcus Smart, here's Pat Beverly, like, here's PJ Tucker. You are a hybrid of those things. Like, stand in the corner on offense, cut, screen, hit open threes, offensive rebounds, James Ennis. Like, defensively, just get into people's mouth. Because Matisse, I love him defensively, but he's not like a, he doesn't have the personality to be a, like, fuck you up defense, but defensive guy. He's more like pesky of like getting in passing lanes and you don't see him and he's all of a sudden he's with the ball behind you. Zaire, I think has kind of the MO to take it personally and like live in guys' heads and like shut someone down. And I want to see that.
Well, I think he's a better athlete than Thybul is too. I think he's got a, I don't know. When I look at them, he looks like a more dynamic athlete than Thybul.
Zaire is a more up and down athlete and he has a stronger frame. Thybul's like side to side motion is, and like the way he glides is next level. And I think they are towards the top of, in terms different kinds of functional athleticism, but like towards the top in the league of that kind of, in that department.
Thybul seems like he gets pushed around a little bit.
Yeah.
Like DeRozan seemed like he pushed him
for
around
sure.
a little bit.
For sure. And,
yeah. Final mailbag question, then we're out of here. This comes from Brady. Hey, Spike and Mike, longtime listener from Calgary, Canada here. I'm not usually one to write into podcasts, but our defense hasn't looked like the murderer's row it was supposed to.
Until now.
Overreaction to 14 games, I know. So I had to ask. Who on the team has most over/underperformed relative to their defensive reputation this year? Embiid has always been a defensive monster, but he isn't affecting shots at the rim like last year. Has he underperformed the most? Love the pod. Would definitely give Mike a 4-on shiver in a red league game for more morphine pods. In a rec league game, he meant, for more morphine
Solid.
Pods. All right. Wow, you weren't on morphine.
No.
No.
But you can call it that.
Who has most overperformed? Underperformed?
Simmons has been excellent defensively.
But not overperformed, I don't think. Simmons.
No, I think he's been...
Yeah.
He has shown that, like, I'm one of the best defensive players in the league level, and guys are shooting really poorly with him on them. And I think that he's just continuing to evolve in that sense. Josh Richardson has advertised. Tobias has gotten better, as we talked about. Horford, I think, figuring it out with the new system, with new guys, but fine. To me, it's been Embiid. Not that he's been bad, not that he's been, a weak link in any sense, but it's been like he has not played for most of the year like a defensive player of the year. And that was a goal for him at the beginning of the season. And whether it's his body's not in shape or he's not affecting as many shots in the past, whatever, I think is the reason why they have not looked for most of the season like a top two or three defense. And tonight was great. I want to see more of that. Duncan Robinson comes in transition and thinks he's going to like... get a layup off over Joel. It was the whole time I was like, no, he's not going to do that. No. What? And he tried it. And just it's the easiest block of Joel's career. So I would say, I mean, the Sixers defense has been pretty good. It just hasn't been as excellent as you're going to need it to be. I believe it getting there for the playoffs because Embiid at 100%, going 100%, is a defensive player of the year candidate, plus Simmons, plus Josh, plus Tobias improved, plus Horford consistency, like all those guys. It's really... Yeah, I mean, their defense is going to get there. I'm not concerned about it.
I'm not concerned. It just has to be awesome.
Yeah,
that's all.
For sure.
It has to be awesome.
And I would say tonight was the kind of game of, like, I said this, but, you know, they're making quicker decisions. Just quicker decisions of less sitting there with the ball and waiting for it and holding on to it. It felt like it was, like, moving. And I saw more of that in the Spurs game also of, like, If we're gonna do this thing, let's do it. But let's not, you know, just hold on to something and get nothing out of it for, you know, the majority of the shot clock.
Quote from Jimmy Butler, this via John Clark. I asked Jimmy Butler why things didn't work out with the Sixers. That's something in the past. I'll leave it there. What happened in the summer, the meetings and the talks, that's for us to know. Fucking idiot. It's now a month of him like alluding to some shit that happened between him and the Sixers. Oh my God, what a loser. What a loser. Like, he's like the first guy in history that, what's it called? That Brett Brown like can't say something nice about. Like, I mean, has there ever been anybody else ever? Fucking Nerlens Noel was spraying shit on the walls of houses, and Jahlil Okafor was driving 120 miles an hour over a bridge, and like all the shit that was going on. And Brett Brown always said something nice about everybody, not Jimmy Butler. He hit a couple big shots for us. Essentially, Brett Brown's version of my thing. He hit a game winner in November against the Nets. That's all he said. I love him so much. So much. All right.
I'm going to watch this next video of Josh Richardson ringing the bell.
Monday we have a game, and then Wednesday we have a game, right?
We got it's Toronto.
Sacramento. Toronto and Sacramento.
I'd like to beat Toronto. I know we're sort of going on an expunging some demons tour.
Yeah.
Could use a nice like 10-point win against Raptors. I'm not asking for another 40-pointer. Just give me a nice 10.
Would love me some Van Vliet on the Sixers. I'll tell you that much. Love that fucking guy. All right. We'll talk to you soon. That's it. Are you done with TTP?
Yeah. You know. Lake fan.
Larry, sweetie, the man is here.
We will write y'all.
Forever.